You have your Bibles. I want you to turn to the Gospel of Mark for our scripture reading for the message. Mark chapter number 16. Mark chapter 16, beginning with verse 9. And reading down through verse 16. Now, when Jesus was risen early, may I pause just a moment to say that could be the solution to many of your problems. You just can't drag around in bed all day long and get up and figure things to go well. Because number one, you can't see anything. And your brain's not working. I'm not going to go as far as to say it's a sin to sleep late. I am going to say this, though. It would do you well to rise a little early. Especially on Sunday morning. And don't come in late. You don't want to be late, my dear friend. Has nothing to do with the message today, but it was right there before my eyes. Now, when Jesus was risen early, the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue. Neither believed they them. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart. Because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. I want to focus in especially on verses 15 and verse number 16, endeavoring to speak to you on marching orders for the church. Marching orders for the church. It would be helpful for you to read what other writers had to say about this account that I've just read for your hearing. Now, I'm not going to take the time to read these other accounts, but I'm going to give you the reference where they're found. So you can read them at random. Number one, Matthew speaks of it in Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20. Luke speaks of it in chapter 24, verses 46 through 48. John speaks of it in chapter 20, verses 19 through 23. And finally, you'll find it in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Including the gospel writer Mark, there are five accounts of these marching orders. And to my knowledge, they're nowhere else to be found in the Bible. It would also be helpful for us to establish the setting or the time of our text. If you'll notice in verse 14 of that 16th of Mark, it says, afterward. Afterward. And I have in the margin of my Bible these two words in which I inscribe, after what? After what? That word afterward means what has happened before. And he gives us some things that have happened before. And he says afterward, after those things, Then comes the marching orders of the church. Christ had already been crucified. This was not before the crucifixion. It was after the crucifixion. In Mark chapter 15, verse 25, the scripture says it was the third hour and they crucified him. And what a brutal thing it was to hang the Son of God between heaven and earth on the cross of Calvary and crucify him. But that had already taken place. Christ had already been buried, according to Mark chapter 15, verse number 46. He bought fine linen and took him down, wrapped him in the linen, laid him in a sepulcher, which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone under the door of the sepulcher. It was also after that Christ had been raised from the dead. In Mark chapter 16, verse number 9, now when Jesus was risen early, and in that context, it speaks of his resurrection from the dead. When he was resurrected, when he was raised from the dead, that happened before what we have read for you this morning and for your hearing. Christ had already been raised from the dead. Christ had also made many appearances on this earth for a period of some 40 days, according to Acts chapter number 1, verse number 3. The scripture says, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion or after his death by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. It was also just prior to his ascension, his going back into heaven to be with the Father. According to Mark chapter 16, verse number 19. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, after he had said the words that we've read for you this morning, these marching orders, this commission that he gives them, after that, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. All of this has to do with the proper setting for the marching orders. How precious the words of our text. He then said unto them, just before going back into heaven, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. As far as we know, these were the last words that Jesus Christ spoke to his disciples before going back into heaven. How we hold on to those words of a loved one when we realize these are probably the last words he'll ever speak. And we want to know, what did he say? What was his reaction? What remarks did he make? Well, just before the Lord went back into heaven, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Now, into the message itself, to whom are these orders given? There are no mistakes in your Bible. Everything in your Bible has been put there on purpose by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. They are given to whom? He does not give them to the scribes and to the Pharisees. Now, during his earthly ministry, he had a lot to say to the scribes and to the Pharisees, but not here. He's not giving these words of instruction to the Jewish Sanhedrin, nor is he giving it to the Sadducees, but he's giving it to, quote, the 11, unquote. Very, very important that you get that. He gives it to the 11. Look at Mark 16:14 afterward, after all these things had transpired, then he appeared, not to everybody, but unto the 11, as they sat at meat. He upbraided them with for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And notice verse 15, and he said unto them, unto whom? The 11. Why not the 12? Well, there was a chair missing at that table. Judas Iscariot had betrayed the Lord and gone out and committed suicide and hung himself. But it is given to the 11. In the account of Matthew, he also specifies this very clearly. Let me read you from Matthew 28, verse 16, and a part of verse 18 and 19. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And Jesus came and spoke unto them. To whom? The 11 disciples. What did he say? He said, go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Why do you suppose he spoke it just to the 11 and not to all believers at that time? Now, again, church, nothing is in the Bible by accident. And when it says several times to the 11, to the 11, to the 11, there is a lesson to be learned. May I say unto you, there were many other Christians in addition to the 11. There were not only just 11 men at that point in time that had come to know Christ as Savior. There were many others who were Christians when Christ singled out his 11 and said it unto them. Let me remind you that the 70 were not there. You say, what 70? Well, the 70 that is recorded in Luke chapter number 10, verse 1. During his earthly ministry, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also. Not only did he send his disciples out, but he sent 70 others also. Sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. You say, well, how do we know that the 70 were saved? Well, just give me a moment. In verse number 17, the 70 returned. Let's hear what their testimony is. The 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I've given you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, over the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that your spirits are subject unto you, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, watch it, because your names are written in heaven. Now that lets me know those 70, if their names were written in heaven, they knew the Lord. But it raises a question, why were they not here to get the marching orders? Just the 11. Just the 11. What about the 500 brethren? You say, what 100? What 500 brethren? You remember, after the Lord raised from the dead, he made many, many public appearances, and one was to 500, and it specifies they were brethren. 1 Corinthians 15:6. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to this hour, but some are fallen asleep. There were some of those who actually saw the resurrected Christ, and they were still alive when Jesus is giving marching orders here. Why weren't they involved? Why just the 11? There were 120 in the upper room.
on the day of Pentecost. The 11 disciples were there, but the rest were not included in this great commission audience, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Only the 11. These 11 were the local church in its infancy. In its infancy. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 27 and 28, Paul is speaking to the church at Corinth. And he says, now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God hath set some. You know, there's a difference between some and all. Did you know that? If I have a bag of candy and I say you can have some of it, that's one thing. If I say you can have all of it, that's another thing. Now, you are the body of Christ and members in particular, and God hath set some. Where has he set them? In the church. First apostles. First apostles. Did you know the first members of the church that Jesus Christ established on this earth, he put the apostles in it before he put anybody else in it? That should give you an idea and an inkling of why he's singling out these 11 men when he gives these marching orders. They were not given to any parachurch organization. Now just get that out of your mind, church. They were not given to a parachurch organization. You say, what is a parachurch organization? There are many parachurch organizations today. The word literally means to lay down beside of. They call themselves extensions of the church. Now, that sounds good, but you won't find any Bible for it. Jesus Christ did not found a parachurch. He founded a church. He did not give his commission, and I'm not being ugly, and I'm not taking pot shots. I'm telling the truth. He didn't give his commission to the Gideons. Now, the Gideons are a parachurch. He did not give his commission, my dear friends, to promise keepers. Now, regardless of whether you think they do a good job or don't do a good job, we're not arguing that. I'm just saying he gave it to the 11. He gave it to the church which he had established. And all believers were not in this church. We've already established that. The 11 were, and they were the first ones. And he singled them out when he gave it to them. He did not give the Great Commission to some professional evangelist to go out and organize his own evangelism society and start getting people, quote, unquote, saved. He gave it to his church. He gave it to his church. Are you listening? He gave it to his church. He gave it to these 13 marching orders given to the church. Now, what are the marching orders for the church? What are the marching orders for the church? Let me read it for you again. He said unto them, just getting ready to leave now. This probably is the last time he'll speak with them. And so he gives them an order here. Go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He's not saying this to 11 individual men that you have a ministry and Peter, you have a ministry and John, you have a, but collectively to a church. 11 men at that time could never in a million years take the gospel into all the world. But the church of the Lord Jesus Christ could. against whom the gates of hell could never stop it. So that's part of these marching orders. Go into all the world. Go into all the world. Now, I presume this includes foreign countries. But it is not limited to foreign countries. We live in a part of this world. Have you ever known people that they sleep so hard, when they wake up in a different world? Now, you wake up in the same world you went to sleep in. And we're in the world today. Way over here, from everybody else, we're in the world. And yet, they're in the world. All of the whole world is a part of this world. We're to go into all the world. We begin here and reach out further. In the reference of Acts, he said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. Who did he say that to? 11 men. The nucleus of that infant church. You shall be witnesses unto me. Well, you got to have a starting place. If you don't have a starting place, you never will begin. Where's the starting place? Beginning at Jerusalem. And then you begin to branch out. You go into Judea. And you branch out a little further into Samaria. And you branch out a little further and to the uttermost part of the earth. But you start right here. You start in Jerusalem. I've always likened it unto a wagon wheel with about three spokes. You got a wagon wheel, there has to be a hub in the center or it won't operate and it won't work. Doesn't make a difference how many spokes you have in it. You got to have a hub, and that hub is Jerusalem, and Tyler, Texas is our Jerusalem. This is where we start. And then you begin to go out with a hub, from the hub with a spoke. This one is called Judea. And then you begin to reach out further. You go out through another hub, and it's called Samaria. And you keep on until you reach all the way out to the uttermost part of the world. That's what he's commanding you, marching orders. We must go because it is not the nature of the world to come. He did not say, wait till they show up. He said, go. And he did not say that it's probably a good idea for you to go. It's not a suggestion. It's not some good advice. It's a commandment. Marching orders. Who's he giving it to? His church. 11 men. Go. Why go? Because it is not the nature of the world to come. It just isn't. I thank the Lord from time to time. We have visitors. Many times these visitors know the Lord, have been saved by the grace of God. Many times they have not been. But my dear friends, by large and far, we're to go and not wait for people to come. Okay? That's why the phrase, let's go fishing, means so much. Because the fish won't come to you. Well, I thought I'd go fishing this morning, so we sit on the front porch and we just wait. They're going to come after a while. I'll just wait a little. They won't come. You're going to catch fish, you got to go fishing. Got to go where they are. We must go because it's not the nature of the world to come. And it involves going across the street or going across the ocean. And it's not for us to say, well, foreign missions is more important than home missions, because the Bible does not specify that. The Bible talks about missions, reaching unsaved people, regardless of where they are. And then he says, preach the gospel to every living creature. You know, I don't have to work at being ugly. I am ugly by nature. This comes out sometimes. And quite often it comes out in sermons, and I don't intend for it to. I'm really a lovable guy. Really. But this denounces marketing the gospel. If you go to every living creature, it denounces marketing the gospel. What do we mean by that? Marketing the gospel is we're going out for a certain kind of people. We're going out for a certain group of people just like us. And we're not interested in anybody else but those who are just like us. Now, if you don't think that goes on, you've been sleeping too long. What do you think the cowboy church is all about? We're not getting ugly. We're just asking a question. What do you think the cowboy church is? It's getting cowboys. And I will buy you a suit of clothes if you can show me anywhere in the orders of the Lord Jesus Christ where he said, go out and get the cowboys. He did say, go out and preach the gospel to every living creature. Now, the motorcycle church. What's a motorcycle church? They cater and market the gospel to people who ride motorcycles. I don't. I'm left out. I just go to hell for all they care. I don't have a black jacket. So I'm isolated because of marketing the gospel. Listen, we cannot afford to market the gospel. Some churches market the executive church, the executive field. If a man holds a very important position in society, oh, we want him in our church because look at the money he could give and he could be such an influence. We're not for the riffraff. We're not for this. We're for a certain group. No, no. Take the gospel to every living creature. That's what he said. So it denounces marketing the gospel. It denounces a false gospel. Take the gospel. Is there a false gospel? Absolutely. Any gospel presentation that depends on what man can do is a false gospel instead of what the Lord has already done. Whether it is shake my hand, how many would you come today? I used to go into the jails and into the penitentiaries. We had somewhat of a ministry there. And one great ploy of mine, until the Lord straightened me out a little bit on this, was to put my hand through the bars and say, if you're willing to trust Christ, shake my hand. And many times they did. Which doesn't mean anything. I figured out later they were either trying to get out or pull me in. One or the other. It's not in a handshake, ladies and gentlemen. It's not in easy believism. All you need to do, the gospel is simple as A, B, C. Boop, boop, boop. Oh, you must be saved now. Not so. It denounces a false gospel. The gospel must be pure that we preach. The marching orders involves a gospel that has to be pure. And I do not have the time to go into every aspect of this, but let me just start off by saying acknowledging one is a sinner is absolutely essential. If a person does not realize he is a sinner, he cannot be saved. The Bible is for law breakers. The gospel is for law breakers, not for law keepers, but for law breakers. We've broken the law of God. We're a sinner, and we plead the mercy of God, but we realize we're a sinner. Don't have many of those today. When's the last time someone came up to you and said, "I just want to tell you this, I'm a sinner"? Not so. Not so. Matter of fact, if you say, "Have you ever become a Christian?" No, I have not. Have you ever joined the church? No, I have not. Are you a sinner? Absolutely not. My wife is, but I'm not. You're going to have to see yourself a sinner. And you're going to have to embrace the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. That's the textbook that we have. These missionaries, that's the textbook they have and will always have when they go back to the Philippines, is to preach the gospel. Preach the word of God. Teach the word of God. Preach the gospel. Pure gospel. Now, very quickly, the results of carrying out our marching orders. He said unto them, verse 15, "Go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Some will believe because they must believe if they're to be saved. You cannot be saved without believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, who He is and what He did on the cross of Calvary. Some will believe, some won't, but there will be some who do. And then believers will be baptized. Did you notice the order of this? He that believeth and is baptized. Isn't it strange? He did not say he that is baptized and believeth. What's the order? The order is he that believeth and is baptized. Belief is first. Baptism is second. And not the other way around. Believe is not a vicarious act. It is not something that someone else can do for you. Your mother, your brothers, your sister, or even, quote, unquote, a soul winner. Belief is something you must do. You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be saved. It's not a vicarious act. It is, however, a conscious act. You know whether you have or not. You know whether you have or not. The object of belief is not things or principles or doctrines or teachings, but the object of belief is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Believe on Jesus Christ to be saved. It's our marching orders. I'm afraid that there's a shortage of that kind of gospel being preached today in our churches as well as on the mission field, home missions as well as foreign missions. An absence of the preaching of the pure gospel of how people are saved. Now, another thing about this verse, he that believeth and is baptized, this is not teaching baptismal regeneration, but rather heartfelt obedience to the Lord's command and His church. Why is that so? Because baptism is essential to the Lord's church. You can become a Christian without baptism, but you cannot become a member of the Lord's church without baptism. I get the feeling I'm in a strange church today. Some of you are kind of mulling that over a little bit. What did he say? I said you cannot be a member of the church without baptism. That's why he included this in the marching orders. Believe and baptize. They were to go out not just to get converts, not just to get numbers, but to get people who would be saved and come into the church and dedicate their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. The establishment of churches. That's what missions is all about. The establishment of churches. The alternate is a nightmare. One not willing to be baptized only gives evidence, most likely, that he does not know the Lord, because it says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not, and this is Bible language, shall be damned. Not put at the end of the line, my dear friends, shall be damned. The marching orders of the church have not changed. They're the same today. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature. We most likely, as individuals, know someone today who isn't a believer. We also know that if they ever come to know Jesus Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit of God must work on them. But also, we must never forget, He uses the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God in salvation. That's where we come in. If you don't know of anybody, ask the Lord to lay somebody on your heart. Maybe you know somebody today. What can I do, Brother Cozart, if this person's lost? Befriend them. People respond in friendship. The Lord Jesus Christ did not come to Jacob's well and say to this woman, "You are a sorry excuse for a prostitute." He began to talk with her. He established a rapport with her, and she listened to what he had to say. Befriend them. The marching orders have not changed. They're the same today. God help us to get involved in evangelism. In my own life, in your own life, may this become a vital part of it, being concerned about those that don't know Christ. And then, help us also, though it isn't stated here, help us to be concerned about people who are not in church. They're not in church. They're not getting anything spiritual out in the world, but they're not in church. Go see them. Visit them. Call them. When visitors come to our church, call them. Let them know you knew that they were present and you want them to come back. Reach out. We have marching orders. We have marching orders. King has given the orders. Now, if we don't do it, then we become disobedient. God, help us not to be disobedient. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.